Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Good morning, First Service. Welcome to church today. My name is Mike Hattinger. And I get to be on staff here, work with our young adults, our life groups, things like that. And it is an absolute honor to do that. I get to share today, and you know, holiday weekends, pastors all over the country are letting their associates preach. So it's a good time to get to share. But no, thank you for letting me share this morning, Pastor Kevin. You know, I got to give a shout out to Matthew and Abigail. So I was a missionary kid growing up as well. We travel around to churches. And when I was little, you know, my parents made me and my brothers wear cowboy hats and sing. And then by the time we became teenagers, it was like, don't make us come up there, don't make us come up there, come on. And they'd be like, come up and say something in Spanish. So we'd come up and be like, hola. You know, we did not want to be there, but you guys are awesome. Like, you know, dancing and talking, good attitude. So yeah, major props to you guys. But so November 24th, 2011, it's a big day, big day. That is the day that Michael Hattinger II asked out a girl for the first time. Yes, that was 10 years ago. You know, so I should be 24, 25 right now, the normal progression of things, but no, I'm 32, so I was 22, the age I finally got around to taking that step into being a normal human being. And somehow I managed to make it through 4 years of college at a small Christian school where there were dozens of young ladies just going there, paying student, getting into student debt just so someone would ask them to marry them. That's, you know, ring by spring was the joke we would make. Somehow I made it through 4 years without doing that. You know, it wasn't until after I graduated, and it was the week before I moved away, so that was great timing. So 87 days later, that ended, and then took another 4 years till I asked another girl out. That one worked out a little bit better, so thank you, Ashley. But so yeah, basically two girls in 27 years. Not a great track record, but here's why I say this. It wasn't because there was something off with all the girls. It was something the way I saw myself. I was, you know, whether you realize it consciously or subconsciously, the way I saw myself, too insecure, afraid of rejection, things like that, afraid I was gonna do something wrong, that God was gonna be mad at me, things like that. The way I saw myself is what affected a lot of these decisions. Sometimes I would make up reasons, you know, why things couldn't work out, but really it was my own insecurities. And this isn't, you know, this isn't a brand new point to be made, but the truth is that the way we think about ourselves affects pretty much everything we do.
That's right.
You know, our identity is so huge, and again, this isn't the first sermon on identity, not the first message you've heard on identity or will hear, but what we think about ourselves affects everything we do. And we can go two different ways. Sometimes we get a little too overly arrogant in our own abilities, and sometimes under the influence of certain substances, that changes. I know my dad would always tell me a story as, you know, I'm growing up, like, you know, be careful with alcohol, Michael, because when I was in high school, one of my friends was drunk, and he got up on a balcony and said, look, guys, I can fly, and he jumped off. Obviously, he couldn't fly. He didn't die or anything. He broke his foot or something like that. But that's a little bit of arrogance placed in the wrong reasons right there. We think, you know, I'm awesome. I can fly. It's wrong. On the other hand, we become so insecure that we're constantly starved for attention, constantly starved for meaning. We feel so low that we'll take anything that we can get. You hear stories of people that were in countries that are starving where mothers will just feed kids dirt and rocks just to have something in their bellies. When you're that hungry, you'll take anything, yep. Right? So we have a view that's too high of ourselves for the wrong reasons, or so low that we fill ourselves, we'll take any kind of garbage, any kind of affirmation to make us feel just a little bit better for just 1 second. Both of those things are wrong. That's the problem. We become either arrogant or afraid. There's a problem we see. We either become arrogant or afraid. So how do we deal with this? I imagine, you know, as adults, you've had this tension you've seen in yourself and other people. You're either too high or in the wrong places or too low. So what do we do? How do we find that balance? Seeing ourselves the right way between becoming overly arrogant or overly afraid and insecure. So looking to Scripture, I think here is the answer. Here's the point I want to make. Here's the main point. So if you get one thing from this message, it's this, is that we should think of ourselves less, but not less of ourselves. Think of yourself less, but not less of yourself. You don't need to be constantly feeding yourself any kind of identity or affirmation, because you should be secure in who you are as a created being of God, someone who Jesus loves and has died for, and he wants you to follow him. So think of yourself less, but not less than yourself. And see, the lower in quality we think of ourselves, the higher in quantity. So I have an illustration. Can I have a volunteer to come up here and do this illustration with me? Matthew, you've been on stage enough already, man. Come on up, yeah. I don't want you to become too arrogant, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so you know how a scale works,
yeah.
Right? So if your arms are the end of the scale, you know, if this side, you know, is heavier, that side goes like that, right? Okay, all right, so here is quantity, here's quality, okay? So if you have a low qualitative view of yourself, you don't think very highly of yourself, again, you're going to constantly be thinking of yourself because you are so hungry, so starved for attention, you'll take anything you can get. But if you have a high, nice job, very good, very consistent. If you have a high view of who you are, again, for the right reasons, if you see yourself correctly, you're not going to be constantly needing, you know, all this affirmation, constantly getting attention, because you're secure in who you are. Right? This is how it works. Again, the lower in quality you think of yourself, the more in quantity, but yet, so good, dude, so good. The higher in quality you are, the less you're going to be thinking about yourself. So think of yourself less without thinking less of yourself. So give it up for Matthew. Thank you for the illustration. Think of yourself less without thinking less of yourself. And so we are in the sermon series, Paul's Playbook. So we're going to look to Paul, how he gives us this example. So 1 Corinthians 11:1 says this. I think there's a little bit of typo up there. It's 11:1, not 1:1. Here's what Paul says. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to imitate Paul. We're going to say, okay, Paul, what is your life like? Let's try to become like you. And he's following Jesus, so ultimately, he's following Jesus. And when Paul writes this, Paul came from, you know, he studied under a famous rabbi, and the rabbinic tradition of those days, if he was like teacher and then student, that was a lineage that you would follow even more than your parents. They would say, like, whoever you're a student of, that's whose words you follow to death. You don't change their words, you follow them. So Paul, when he is saying this, he's basically saying, I essentially sat at the feet of Jesus. I learned everything from him. I'm following him with all my being. Now you sit at my feet. Let's carry this lineage on. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. So we're going to look at Paul's example, see how he lived this life of thinking highly of himself, in the same way so did Jesus, and that allowed them to be humble. Now, I understand this is not some kind of self-help message. This isn't just, hey, you are awesome just because you are. You're awesome because you're made in God's image and because you've been given an example from the Savior himself on how to serve and yet think highly of yourself. So this is all about Jesus. This is all about him. I hope this message points to him. It makes him awesome to us. That is the goal here today. We want to follow him. So here's our roadmap. Here's where we're going for the next, I'm trying to do 15 minutes. I think we can do that. In the next 15 minutes, here's where we're going. So we're going to look at Paul. First of all, we're going to look at three verses on how humble Paul was, how he thought of himself, how he thought of himself less, and then three verses on how confident he was, how highly he thought of himself, both humble and confident. Then we're going to look at three verses on how humble Jesus was, and three verses on how confident Jesus was. Then, how does that apply to us? Who are we in Christ? All right, so that's where we're going. Humble Paul, confident Paul, humble Jesus, confident Jesus, and how does that apply to us? All right, three verses for each. So let's get into it. Humble Paul. Paul, thinking of himself less. Look at some examples on how he could have had rights, he could have held on to them, but he didn't. So number one, Philippians 1, 12 through 14. The verses will be on the screen. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible, feel free. I'm going to give you time to do that. So Philippians 1, 12 through 14. Here's what it says. This is Paul writing, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And what has happened to him was he was thrown in jail, arrested. So it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul was in a really horrible circumstance. He was simply preaching the gospel. He was arrested, thrown in prison. Prisons back then were not like today. You didn't get TV time. You didn't get rec time. You're thrown in a hole and basically depend on others to bring you food, clothing, and to survive. And what Paul is saying is, this is a really crappy situation, but yet he is rejoicing. The letter of Philippians is known as the joy letter because what he's saying, what's been dumped on me, man, this is actually good for everybody else. Pastor Kevin used the illustration all the time. You get crap dumped on you, hey, I'll get to spread it around and make a fertilizer for those around me to grow. It's a great illustration. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, hey, I've gotten dumped on, but you know what? I'm happy about that because the guards have gotten to hear about Jesus. The brothers and sisters around me have become emboldened. Like, you know, classic, you know, story of, you know, an athlete or something that overcomes, you know, you look at the Paralympics, they lose a leg or something, and they still run marathons, compete. That's inspiring to others. In the same way, they were seeing Paul. Wow, Paul got arrested and he's still preaching. If he can do it, I can do it.
That's right.
And Paul's rejoicing about that. Paul's not thinking of himself. He's not saying, God, what is wrong? I've been serving you. You throw me in prison. No. He's thinking not of himself in the moment, but how the good things that have come out of it for others. Paul, very humble. Next one, 1 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12. This one, he's writing to a church. They're having issues. They're having a lot of issues. If you think the church is messed up today, sometimes you should really read the letters. Church has always been messed up, and God's grace is good, and he still works through us somehow. So that is that can be encouraging. So Paul is saying, if we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much that we reap a material harvest from you? What he's saying is, if we're here working and serving you guys, it's our right to receive food and payment and housing. That's a normal thing. But what he says, if others have had this right to support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. We did not use it. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. So he had full rights to say, you need to support me. I'm here serving you, building you up, pastoring you. I need this. I deserve this. But what he says, I didn't use this right. He had the right to claim it. He needed it. But he said, you know what? Rather than think of what I need, I don't want to put anything in the way of the gospel being reached to you. So I'm not going to use this right. I'll let go of my rights. I will let go of my rights if it helps advance the gospel. This is incredibly humble. He's not thinking of himself. He's thinking about others, even though he deserved it, even though he had the rights to hold on to it. It makes me think of this past week at a middle school camp. Oops, spilled some tea there. We had a belly flop contest for some of the counselors. And the top two happened to be the children of our pastors, Kevin and Robin. Yeah, big surprise, right? And let me tell you, they crush it. You need to go on Facebook, watch the videos. Yeah, Heather's holding her head down, but she absolutely killed it. So Heather and Matt Crow were the top two. All the other ones wimped out, didn't do it right, but they just kept going for it over and over. Final two, and it was going to be one or two, and Matt comes over, and Matt's the older one, and he says, hey, you know what, like, I know I'm top two, like, whatever happens, I want to make sure Heather wins. She gets the points. She gets the honor. Even though he had done just as well, he had full rights. He could have said, I've been team captain for years and years. I'm still doing it. This is my second week. He could have absolutely said, you know, whoever wins, we want the points, but he gave that up, full rights, and said, I want her to have it no matter what. No matter what, she has earned it. She deserved it, and that was so cool, and the crowd agreed. We gave it up to the students, and the crowd agreed Heather was our belly smack champion, so well done. But man, that is a mark of security. When you can give up what you have a right to, when you can give up what you're owed and let go of that and say, someone else should get this, even though I should deserve it, that's a mark of security. That's a mark of being confident and who you are. And that's what Paul is doing here. He says, you owed us this, but we didn't claim it because we didn't want anything to get in the way. So humble Paul, number three, Ephesians 3, verses 7 and 8. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power, although I am the less than the least of all the Lord's people. Paul knows, I've been given this gift. I've been given God's power, but it's not because of how great I am. I'm the least. I know my mistakes. I know my flaws. It's all about him. Man, I want this humility. You know, in the church world, there's this common thing, and that is stacking chairs. If you've been around different churches, stacking chairs is a thing that happens countrywide, worldwide, and that's like the mark of, you know, that's...
Amen.
Yeah. Like, not the lowest of the low, but it's like, you know, that's just kind of the menial task that's got to get done. Again, I'm going to use another camp reference. It's been my world for the last couple of weeks. Sometimes at teenagers with community toilets don't take care of things the right way. And sometimes things just sit there for hours and hours and days and days. And there was one of the staff who had been around for years and years, team captain, saw it and grabbed a plunger, took care of it. Not just one, two toilets. That's the kind of person that I want to be. I don't want to ever get to a place where I'm like, I am. This is below. Stacking chairs or worse, plunging toilets is below me. I don't want that. I want to be like Paul. I'm the least of these. Not in a way that demeans yourself, not the way that puts yourself, you know, in a shameful position, but to say, there's nothing beneath me. I'm here to serve. I want it to be an honor for me to be able to be at church camp and plunge toilets. If that's what I have to do, like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
If I got to stack some chairs, hey, I want to be willing to do that. And that's Paul's example. I'm the least of these. But doesn't mean he lived in shame and insecurity. Let's look at Paul's confidence now. Paul did not think less of himself. He thought of himself less. We just saw that. But he did not think less of himself. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 6. So I've edited some of this out. But here again, he's writing to the Corinthians, and he's having to defend himself because they're listening to these other people that are trying to lead him astray, and he's saying, no, listen, I've paid my dues. I know who I am. He's saying, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions, revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself. Basically, we kind of understand that Paul is talking about himself in the third person,
right,
saying there's this guy that literally was taken up to heaven and was seen, given a vision of heaven. What an awesome man. But not myself. There's this guy I know, my friend, right? We do that, like, you know, I have a question for my friend, or asking for a friend when you're really asking. What he's saying is I know this guy who, and he's talking about himself, but he's trying to do it in a humble way. I'll boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I'd be speaking the truth. Paul's saying, listen, you need to follow me. I know who I am. I know what Jesus has done in me. I know the gifts God has been giving me. You know, you can compare me all you want. I have just as much right to pour into you because I have been your pastor. I've been faithful. I walk with Jesus. He is confident. Next one, Ephesians 3, 2 through 6. I love the way this sounds. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me. Surely you have heard about God's grace. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Okay, summarize. He's saying, listen, there's this mystery that God has been kind of working throughout the world for thousands and thousands of years. I have the key to the mystery. That is pretty, like, that is some high confidence right there. But we've already seen how humble he is. We've seen that he's not in it for himself, but he has this deep confidence. Like, surely you've heard this grace. I am the one who's been given the mystery to say that Jesus is this Jewish, he's this Jewish tradition, but opens it up for the whole world. I'm the one who gets to share this mystery to the world. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And Paul is saying all the thousands of years, this has led up to Jesus, and I'm the one who gets to share it. It's almost like, I would think, like Neil Armstrong vibes, walking around like 1970, like, surely you have heard someone has walked on the moon. That was me. Surely you've heard about that happening. Yeah, that's me. For thousands of years, we looked up to the moon wondering what's up there. I am the one who was given the gifts of stepping on there. Like, that's some pretty confident stuff. You know, Brian Regan's a comedian, has this, you know, Neil Armstrong could top any dinner party story, you know, like, oh, that's great for you, started this, well, I walked on the moon, you know, it tops anything. But this is like the confidence that Paul is saying, surely you've heard, this is my gift, I'm the one who gets to share this. Number three, Romans 15, 17 through 19. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power and signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. Saying, listen, Christ has accomplished this. I have done signs, wonders, powers, but it's all him through me. Paul was both incredibly humble and incredibly confident, but it was all based on what Christ had done in him. Okay, so roadmap, stop number two. We looked at Paul, how humble he was, how confident he was. Let's look at Jesus now. Thinking of ourself less, but not less of ourself. Humble Jesus, thinking of himself less. Mark 10, 45. This is a classic verse. I came not to be served, but to serve. The King of the universe stepping down. I came not to be served, but to serve. We had, was it a month or so ago, President Biden came, was it to Brooklyn, and went to Honey Hut, got some ice cream. Right now, maybe he scooped it out for somebody. They do the, you do those things for the cameras, like, here's the president serving ice cream. But what if he had just shown up, no Secret Service, you know, no security, just shown up, clocked in for a shift, washed some dishes, took some trash out, served some ice cream, went home? That would be kind of jarring, someone in that high position. No fanfare, no cameras, no nothing. Just, I'm here to serve, do my job, plunge some toilets, even go home. That is stark reality of what Jesus came to do. The King of the universe coming, not even if he came in power, even if he came to conquer, he would be his full right, but he came just to serve. Amen. Jesus, humble, thinking of himself less. Here's another example, Matthew 14, 13. When Jesus heard that his cousin John was killed, his cousin John he was close to, he left there in a boat to be by himself, but the crowds followed him from the towns. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Any moms in the room, sometimes you just need to step away from the people following you and just need a moment to yourself. Yeah? I mean, again, being with teenagers last couple weeks, I know that feeling of it's free time. You guys just don't run off into the woods. Just don't die, and I'm going to take a few minutes to lay down. Right, this is Jesus. He's mourning. His cousin just died. He goes off. He needs to be by himself. He's a normal person with emotions. And there's the crowds again, needing more from him, needing more and more and more and more. And what does he do? You know, he could have just turned the boat around, just ignored them, you know. But no, he had compassion on them. He was empty. He needed refilling. And yet, in that moment, he thought not of himself, but of them. He had compassion on them. He healed them. Jesus is so humble, so caring. And then finally, in Philippians, this beautiful image of how Christ gave himself up for us. Paul is saying, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. When the time came, he set aside those privileges and took on the status of a human slave. He lived a selfless, obedient life. Paul moves, there's this passage in Philippians where Jesus shows how highly exalted he was, and he gave it up, he became a man. He became a servant. He died even onto a cross, and because of that, God elevated him. But Jesus gave all of those things up. He didn't need to hold on to his rights as a God. He didn't hold on to those things for our benefit. He let go of them, not thinking of himself, thinking of us. Think of yourself less, but not less of yourself. So now let's look at confident Jesus. He was here to serve. He was here to have compassion, but yet he knew who he was. He had a deep security in who he was. This is, talk about some snarkiness from Jesus here. I know where I come from and where I am going, but you have no idea where I come from, where I am going. If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I know God, my father. If I were to say that I don't know him, I'd be a liar like you, but I do know him. See, I know who I am. I am one with the Father. I came from the Father. You don't know me. He is so secure in who he was. He was able to speak. You know, there wasn't this constant you know, like we have this image of meek Jesus. I think I might have skipped over that picture, but we have like, if you can go back to that quick mark, we have like this image of like this meek, like stoic Jesus, you know, just constantly like holding little lambs and stuff. You know, and then we have, you know, meme Jesus where he's like, you know, super confident and cool. But really, Jesus had both of those sides. He's saying, listen, I know who I am. You come against me, you're talking smack about me. I know who I am. I know where I come from. John 16, 15, all that the Father has is mine. I and the Father are one. Listen, I know where my background is. I know where my power comes from. Jesus was confident. He prayed, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus knew exactly where he came from and who he was. He did not lack in confidence. He did not lack in assurance. And that energy Jesus is bringing reminded me of, if you watch, you know, I use a lot of sports illustrations. Sorry if that doesn't land with you. But a couple years ago, Joe Burrow won the Heisman from Ohio, high school athlete from Ohio, won the Heisman. And before they played the national championship, he won. He was best player of the year. And a reporter comes up to him with a picture when he was 9 years old, little, you know, little scrawny kid. And she asks, Joe, does this little kid look like a Heisman Trophy winner to you? And he says, you know, just, that kid looks like a national champion. And he went out and he won it a couple weeks later. Like, that is some confident energy right there. That's what Jesus is bringing to the table. It's like, yeah, I know who I am. You don't know, but I know. Jesus had some high confidence, just as Paul did. So, man, to summarize Jesus perfectly, John 13:3. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything. Jesus knew that he was in control of everything. So what does he do? So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, and put on an apron. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. This was the job of the slaves to do. He knew he was in charge of everything. So what does he do? He says, it's time to serve me, I'm king. He was so confident and so secure in who he was able to let go of any pretense of status, any pretense of power, and to serve at the lowest level.
That's good.
Jesus, fully humble, fully confident. So, back to our roadmap. We are called to be like Jesus. We're called to follow Jesus. Paul, humble and confident. Jesus, humble and confident. Now us. And think of yourself less, but not less of yourself. Be both humble and confident. Why? Because here is what Paul and John say about us. Romans 8:17, we are co-heirs with Christ.
That's right.
Listen, if you believe in Jesus and you follow him, you are co-heirs with him. God, it's this crazy mystery. Of course, he's still Lord and he's still God, but in some sense, God has elevated us to be equals with him on some level. Right? We still worship, again, we still worship him, he's still Lord, but yet God has, everything that God has for Jesus, all that power, all that glory, he has in store for us. You're co-heir with Christ. You've been put in charge of everything, so to speak, just like Jesus. Why would you lack confidence? Why would you lack security? But in the same way, John 13, 14, and 15, and this is one of our core verses for our church. If I, your Lord and teacher, this is Jesus saying, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example. Both humble, letting go of all our rights, all our status, ready to serve and think of others, but at the same time, knowing how where our confidence comes from, who we are in him. So it's like the show Undercover Boss. If you've seen Undercover Boss or not, it's a show where they'll take CEOs of companies and have them, you know, kind of go undercover and work as, you know, serving chicken at Boston Market. They'll work as janitors. They're working in the warehouse. These CEOs making millions of dollars. They have all the power because they want to see what it's like, you know, to be in the real world, so to speak, to be a regular worker. You know, and sometimes they'll have examples where the boss is getting get insulted, made fun of by, you know, it's like, yeah, that guy, he can't pack cereal worth nothing, he stinks, you know, and sometimes there'll even be little arguments, things like that back and forth. What does the boss do? The boss doesn't get involved, he doesn't insult the person back, he doesn't yell at them, he doesn't have to defend himself. Why? Because he knows who he really is, or she. They know who they really are. They don't need to get into these little spats and arguments and put each other down and defend themselves because ultimately they know these insults and things aren't, they don't land. They know who they are. Let's live like that a little bit. You know you've been given everything. You are a co-heir with Christ. So out in the world, you don't need to be getting into constantly defending yourselves, getting into arguments, getting into spats, and putting other people down because you let's live in the security that we have. Free to serve, free to work in whatever, free to wholeheartedly do any task we've been given. I don't want to be above stacking chairs. I don't want to be above anything. And if the church lived that way, we're here to serve, do whatever. Not with a shame, not with a heaviness of we have to make God happy, but because God's happy with us, because we've been given everything. That's who you are. You are an undercover boss out in the world. You are a co-heir with Christ. Let's live that way. Church, let's live that way. Thinking of ourselves less, but not less of ourselves. Right. You don't constantly need to be thinking about your needs, your security, because you're secure in Him. All right, so how? I want to give you a couple practical examples on how to do that. A couple practical examples. So number one, thinking of yourself less. Freely and genuinely compliment others. You're free to put others up because you're secure in who you are. You don't need to be equal with them. So freely and genuinely compliment others. That's an easy little thing to do. Freely and genuinely compliment others. Be okay with others being better than you. I know I do this all the time. Someone's better at me than something, I think of ways where I'm better than them at something else. Like, oh man, they're a lot better at sports than me. Well, I'm smarter than them. And they're funnier than me. That's okay. I'm smarter than them, whatever. You see where sometimes I put my securities in, right? I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that. My security doesn't come from me being so good at this or that or that. Be okay with other people being better than you. Number three, serve. We talk about serving a lot at this church. Yeah, it's one of our core values. And yeah, because we want you to be like Jesus. And when you serve, you get filled. When you get served, you become more like Him. You get filled with joy, peace, relationship. Think of yourself less. Give up a little bit of your time, a little bit of your comfort, a little bit of your energy to build the church, to build the world. That's what the Martins are doing. You guys are giving up your security, your homeland for other people. If they can do that, you can be a greeter once a month. You can work with kids once a month. Thinking less of yourself. Don't need to do these things. Make excuses for your failures, flaws. This is just who I am. I'm just an angry person. I just have this, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, I just have this. No, you're a child of the King. You're a co-heir with Christ. You don't need to live with that. That's not just who you are. You're a lot more than that. Give yourself grace. I mean, yes, let go of the sin. Let God give you forgiveness and grace, but move forward in confidence. Think less of yourself. You try to hurt, get back at others. You don't need to. There is so much freedom in being hurt and yet giving grace and forgiveness and just letting it go. There is some freedom and power in that and not having to hit right back. Maybe they knocked you down or tried to. You don't need to knock them back down. Let that go. Man, there is power in that. There is freedom in that. Don't think less of yourself. You are a co-heir with Christ. You have the ability to just let go and give forgiveness. Finally, don't not serve. Be confident in who you are. You are not just someone, some schmuck off the street, just living life day to day. You've been given gifts. You've been given power and authority. There's people that need your gifts. You are a piece of the puzzle that is missing. Think of yourself that way, that the world out here needs me. It needs my song. It needs my presence. I am needed. I've been given a gift. Don't leave it unwrapped. Don't think of yourself as just some person with nothing to offer. You've been given power and authority. Live that out. All right, so those are just a few practical things. Think of yourself less, but not less of yourself. That's the point today. Left you with a few ideas. And to close, we sang this song last week, Jireh. He's enough. And because He's enough, you're enough. Because He's enough, you have security. Because He's enough, you can live full of confidence, power, and authority, not walking around in shame and insecurity. The more we realize He's enough, the more it'll overflow in our lives that we're enough. So I invite you, if you'd like to stand, let's sing this together.